Remarks of the President at Great Falls High School Memorial Stadium, Great Falls, Montana, September
26, 1963. Thank you. Senator Mansfield. Governor, Secretary Udall, Senator Medcalf, Madam Mayor, Congressman Olson, ladies and gentlemen. This journey, which started almost by accident, has been one of the most impressive experiences of my life. We live in the city of Washington in a rather artificial atmosphere. Washington was deliberately developed as a government city in order to remove those who were making the laws from all the pressures of everyday life. And so we live far away. We talk about the United States, about its problems, its powers, its people, its opportunity, its dangers, its hazards, but we're still talking about life in a somewhat removed way. But to fly as we have flown in the short space of 48 hours from Milford, Pennsylvania, to Ashland, Wisconsin, to Duluth, Minnesota, to North Dakota, to Wyoming, to Montana, back to Wyoming, back to Montana, and then to go to the state of Washington and the state of Utah this evening, shows anyone who makes that journey, even in a short period of time, what a strong, powerful, and resourceful country this is. Montana is a long way from Washington, and it's a long way from the Soviet Union, and it's 10,000 miles from Laos. But this particular state, because it has, among other reasons, concentrated within its borders some of the most powerful nuclear missile systems in the world, must be conscious of every danger and must be conscious of how close Montana lives to the firing line which divides the communist world. We are many thousands of miles from the Soviet Union, but this state, in a very real sense, is only 30 minutes away. The object of our policy, therefore, must be to protect the United States, to make sure that those over 100 Minuteman missiles which ring this city and this state remain where they are. And that is the object of the foreign policy of the United States under this administration, under the previous administration, and under that of President Truman. One central theme has run through the foreign policy of the United States, and that is, in a dangerous and changing world, it is essential that the 180 million people of the United States throw their weight into the balance in every struggle, in every country, on the side of freedom. And so, in the last years, we have been intimately involved with affairs of countries of which we never heard 20 years ago, but which now affect the balance of power in the world, therefore the security of the United States, and therefore the chances of war and peace. I know that there are many of you who sit here and wonder what it is that causes the United States to go so far away, that causes you to wonder why so many of your sons should be stationed so far away from our own territory, who wonder why it is since 1945 that the United States has assisted so many countries. You must wonder when it's all going to end and when we can come back home. Well, it isn't going to end. And this generation of Americans has to make up its mind for our security and for our peace, that what happens in Europe or Latin America or Africa or Asia directly affects the security of the people who live in this city, and particularly those who are coming after. I make no apologies for the effort that we make to assist these other countries to maintain their freedom, because I know full well that every time a country, regardless of how far away it may be from our own borders, every time that country passes behind the Iron Curtain, the security of the United States is thereby endangered. So all those who suggest we withdraw, all those who suggest we should no longer ship our surplus food abroad or assist other countries. I could not disagree with them more. This country is stronger now than it's ever been. Our chances for peace are stronger than they've been in years. The nuclear test ban, which was strongly led in the Senate of the United States by Mike Mansfield and Lee Metcalf, is, I believe, a step towards peace and a step towards security, and gives us an additional chance that all of the weapons of Montana will never be fired. That is the object of our policy. So we need your support. These are complicated problems which face a citizenry. Most of us grew up in a relative period of isolation and neutrality and unalignment, which was our policy from the time of George Washington to the Second World War, and suddenly, in an act almost unknown in the history of the world, we were shoved onto the center of the stage. We are the keystone and the arch of freedom. If the United States were to falter, the whole world, in my opinion, would inevitably begin to move towards the communist bloc. It is the United States, this country, your country, which in 15 to 18 years has almost single-handedly protected the freedom of dozens of countries who in turn, by being free, protect our freedom. So when you ask, why are we in Laos or Vietnam or the Congo? Or why do we support the Alliance for Progress in Latin America? We do so because we believe that our freedom is tied up with theirs. And if we can develop a world in which all the countries are free, then the threat to the security of the United States is lessened. So we have to stay at it. We must not be fatigued. I do not believe that the test ban treaty means that the competition between the communist system and ourselves will end. What we hope is that it will not be carried into the sphere of nuclear war, but the competition will go on. Which society is the most productive? Which society educates its children better? Which society maintains a higher rate of economic growth? Which society produces more cultural and intellectual stimulus? Which society, in other words, is the happier? We believe that ours is, but we should not fool ourselves if the chance of war disappears to some degree. Other struggles come to the center of the stage. The solution of every problem brings with it other problems. And therefore, this society of ours is, in a very real sense, in a race. And therefore, I want to see all of our children as well educated as possible. I want to see us protect our natural resources. I want to see us make our cities better places in which to live. I want this country, as I know you do, to be an ornament to the cause of freedom all around the globe. Because as we go, so goes the cause of freedom. This is the obligation, therefore, of this generation of Americans. And I think that in the last 18 years, reviewing what we've done, we have every reason to feel a sense of satisfaction. And I look forward to the next decade, when the struggle may be in all these other areas. I look forward to that struggle with confidence and hope. But we must recognize the national obligation upon us all. There are 8 to 9 million children in the United States of America, in high school or in elementary school, who live in families which have $3,000 a year or less. What chance do they have to finish high school? How many of them will go to college? What kind of an income will they have when they go to work? Will their children then grow up in a family which is itself deprived and so pass on from generation to generation a lag, a fifth of the country which lives near the bottom, while the rest of the country booms and prospers? It is the obligation of government, speaking on the will of the people, that we concern ourselves with this phase of our resource development, our children, 9 million children who are growing up without the opportunity available to yours, and then they drop out of school, and then they lose their chance. So we have a lot to do in this country. We have a lot to do, and I'm out here to try to get your support in doing it. And one of the things that I think we have to do is worry about this country of ours I flew over some of the most beautiful parts of the United States this morning from Jackson Hole. I'm sure that a half of our country, particularly those who live east of the Mississippi River, have no idea what we have in this part of the United States. They're beginning to realize it, and more, but all in the east of the Mississippi, they live in too much, in crowded areas. They live along the seashore, which is open to only a few. They live in cities which are becoming more sprawling and more concentrated. And we have here in the western United States a section of the world richer by far almost than any other. I want them to come out here. And I want the United States to take those measures in this decade which will make the northwest United States a garden to attract people from all over this country and all over the world. We go to Jackson Hole and Yellowstone, and we're impressed, as all of us are, but what we should remember is that that was due to the work of others, not to us, but to those who made the great fights in the last 50 years. Now in 1960s, we have to decide what we are going to do, and I believe that there's a good deal that we can do. We have started on a project, a concentrated project of resource development, more watershed projects have been completed in recent years than ever before in our history. Negotiations are underway, which should lead and must lead to the final ratification of the Columbia River Treaty with Canada. It has moved into its last stages, and it is my hope that work will soon be commenced on the Libby Dam project in northwest Montana, which will make this a richer state in which to live. And what you have done here in this section of the United States, I want us to do along our coastline. Only 2% of our extraordinary coastline, the Atlantic, the Gulf Stream, and the Pacific, only 2% is devoted to public use. We have the same fight along our coastlines that we had here in this section of the Northwest 30 and 40 years ago for forests and parks and all the rest. 2%. The fact of the matter is, we passed in 1 year in 61, three parks along our seashores, which is more than it had been done in 1 year in any Congress in history. We have let our seashores go to waste. So I urge this generation of Americans, who are the fathers and mothers of 350 million Americans who will live in this country in 2,000 years, and I want those Americans who live here in 2,000 years to feel that those of us who had positions of responsibility in the 60s, that we did our part. And so those of us who inherited from Franklin Roosevelt and Theodore Roosevelt will have something to pass on to those who come and our children many years from now. So I hope that we will harness our rivers. I hope we will reclaim our land. I hope we'll irrigate it. I hope we can provide, through cooperative effort of the farmers and the government, the kind of program which will give them a hope for security. I hope, in other words, that we will take this rich country of ours, given to us by God and by nature, and improve it through science and find new uses for our natural resources to make it possible for us to sustain in this country a steadily increasing standard of living, the highest in the world, and based on that powerful fortress to move out around the world in the defense of freedom, as we have done for 18 years and as we must do in the years to come. This is the responsibility which this generation of Americans has been given. I do not share with those who feel that this responsibility should be passed on to others. The fact of the matter is that there are no others who combine our geographic position, our natural wealth, and the determination of our people. And therefore, until such a people someday arise, I think the United States should stay guard at the gate. The fact is we've done it for 18 years. The fact is the chances for peace may be better now than before. The fact is that our wealth has increased. The fact is there are over 100 countries which are now independent, many of them who owe their independence to the United States. This is the record which this country has written since 1945, and it is upon this great record that I believe we now must build. This sun and this sky which shines over Montana can be, I believe, the kind of inspiration to us all to recognize what a great single country we have. 50 separate states, but one people living here in the United States, building this country and maintaining the watch around the globe. This is the opportunity before us, as well as the responsibility. Thank you.